With Vietnam veteran Wayne Carlin in a program moderated by E. Ethelbert Miller on Thursday, April 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. At the event, 50 years after the end of the Vietnam War, A Pathway Toward Healing and Reconciliation, K-Mai will read from her new book of poems, The Color of Peace, and Wayne will read from his latest book, Memorial Days, Vietnam Stories, 1973 to 2022. That's 50 years after the end of the Vietnam War, A Pathway Toward Healing and Reconciliation, Thursday, April 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Tacoma Busboys and Poets. More information and how to RSVP can be found online, ips-dc.org/events.
Hello, I'm David Whetstone, and you're listening to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Church, two queer folks got the call and came together. I'm Dapo the Flower with the God Glow Up.
I'm Jay Barber, everybody's uncle and father. We're here offering a sanctuary for queer folks. Here, we believe God is for everybody. This is the Fellowship Hall on Inside Out.
Yes, yes. The Inside Out Collective is one of the only LGBTQIA-focused shows on terrestrial radio. It illuminates and celebrates the rich diversity that is the LGBTQIA plus experience. We are proud to be a part of the legacy of cutting edge public affairs programming on WPFW, home of Jazz and Justice Radio. Inside Out airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on 89.3 FM and WPFWFM.org. We thank you for continuing to support WPFW, where the truth is told and the community is supported. We have no corporate sponsors. All we have is you, the people. Speaking of support, WPFW is celebrating its 48th anniversary, and we want y'all to celebrate with us. So go ahead and head over to WPFWFM.org. and get your tickets. We will see you this Friday at 6:30 p.m. down Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. So please pull up. It's going to be a great time. Live music, food, all these things. So the title of this episode is called Not My Jesus. Okay, just like that. Not My Jesus. And we're going to talk about how people have distorted Jesus and his teachings to fit their bigoted and rigid ideologies, and how it encourages hate and division instead of love and kindness. If the Spirit so moves you to give us a call, please do. Dial 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the Fellowship Hall, sanctuary for queer folks. First off, we just want to show some love to Jay Flower, who is currently putting most of her focus into writing and will no longer be joining us here on Fellowship Hall, but is always with us in spirit.
Love you, miss you, so proud of you, all of that.
Definitely. Much love to you, Jay Flower. Won't be the same without you, but we wish you the best and can't wait to see what is coming up next. Meanwhile, what's been up with you, Defo? How are you?
Man, I'm good. You know, we just came off spring break. Shout out. I do feel a little swindled because, you know, Emancipation Day was Wednesday. And it's like, we need another day. Y'all tried to set us up, you know.
They played us.
They did. A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. They just throw it in. Give them 4 days.
I mean, we even get like Easter Monday. When you get the Emancipation Day. Like, come on.
That part. But I'm definitely grateful. I went down to Nashville to see my grandma. She turned 96 on the 1st of April. Shout out to 1929. Okay. Yes. What? Born in Jim Crow South. Okay. What?
Stories for days, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So yeah, and then came back, hung out with Bay, spent a little time with the church. It was Resurrection Sunday yesterday. Definitely enjoyed myself, had a good time praising the Lord and being with friends and family. You know, the bestie cooked up a bomb Resurrection Sunday meal. So
I saw that plate.
Yeah, right. It was good. Yeah, it was good. Yo, so check this. So one Thanksgiving, the bestie looked up like, what do white people eat on Easter Sunday? Right? You know, because, you know, black folks, we like collard greens, you know, all right, potato salad, get your little ham. I don't eat pork, but it'd be ham or fried chicken, you know, all of these things. So we know what we eat. But she was like, what do white people eat? And supposedly Google said, now, white people make carrot souffle, right? Carrot souffle. Sounds a little crazy. Yeah, but so the bestie made a carrot souffle, and it's been a part of Easter for like 2-3 Easters, ever since she looked it up. It's so good, dog.
Wow. Okay.
It's so good.
You have to check it out.
Yeah, so I don't know if there are any white folks out there to justify this or deny it, but shout out to the carrot souffle and shout out to just fellowshipping with good people. How you doing, Jay? What's going on with you?
I'm good. I was able to get away during the break. I went to Michigan to go see my brother.
Yes.
Really excited to spend some time with him and his wife. I had a really good time, went and hung out with cousins and ate everything. Do you hear me? Everything.
Everything. Where y'all hang out? Y'all went bowling? Y'all went roller skating? What y'all do with the cousins?
We went to a couple of lounges. We got up over folks' houses. Wanted to be with each other and fellowship and enjoy. So
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Ain't nothing like hanging with the cousins, man.
Right. You don't even really have to go nowhere. Like, it's just already funny.
That part.
Funny and amazing. Yeah.
That part. And then I saw a post like, you know, you get old enough to learn all the family tea. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's like, oh, I didn't even know he was that messy. Or I didn't even know Uncle Ray Ray, you know, took a walk. Like the cousins be taking a walk, you know, after dinner, you know what I'm saying? Like you find out all of the things that you never knew happened because you was too young to get the tea.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So that was amazing. And just, you know, just the love of being around people you love. So it was good. Yeah.
That's what's up. How was the weather?
It was actually nice. It was comparable to DC actually.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what's up. Yeah.
I was expected to be, you know, wrapped. No, it was good weather.
That's what's up. Cause you know, we're looking pretty good this week coming up. Like, I guess I don't know if it's still full spring, but the temperatures, I'm very grateful for the mid 70s that we're having. And it's nice at night, you know what I'm saying? Nice little breeze to sit out. Very grateful because that week of 50 degrees, that really blew me. I was really upset.
And rain, it was like 50 degrees and raining.
And rainy, like, why? Why?
Yeah, I really felt this winter did us wrong.
Like, a little bit. Yeah, dropped all that snow on us, you know what I'm saying?
It was a lot.
I'm not mad at the snow because it's like we got a few extra days after winter break, you know what I'm saying, just to be chilling. But, like, we made it up like through asynchronous learning. So we haven't had to like kind of add any days onto the school year, but the students be working when they off for like you know, a holiday, but they have work to do. Not us, but they do.
Yeah. So we actually have to make it up. We're going a little bit longer.
Oh, yep. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
I expected it.
Got you. Yeah, that's the bittersweet thing. It's like, are we gonna have to make this up? Did we plan for this? But I'm grateful for the asynchronous days. But you know, I'm not in the classroom either. So I'm very privileged, you know, to be outside of the classroom, but still in the loop with the students and the youth. So shout out to all the teachers and the educators that are in the classroom, because God bless y'all. All right.
Not for the week, I can tell you that.
It's not for the week. At least you were in high school though, you know what I'm saying? I feel like middle school is definitely something I would never, ever, ever do again. And I wasn't even in the classroom. I was I was the ops. So, but I remember myself in middle school, and that was a handful. I was really wild and crazy.
But they are much more malleable, I feel like, in middle school than when you get to high school. That's when the rigidness and I already know the jaded situation starts happening. I feel like once they get to high school.
I got you.
At least, you know, fly around and you know, psych them out to get it done.
Right, try and mold them, right? that part. But yeah, so we are going to be talking about like just rhetoric and ideologies and things that go actually against what Jesus was talking about, you know? But before that, shout out to Big Frida. Big Frida, a gender fluid, larger than life ambassador of New Orleans bounce music. She's nationally recognized as a hip hop artist, a TV personality, and a cultural influence, and has a new gospel album coming out. Come on, Frida. Yes, I'm very excited to hear what Frida has for us. But Frida did drop a single from the new gospel album that is upcoming, and it's called Take My Hand. So our first sermonic selection is called Take My Hand by Big Frida. Let's hear it.
All right. This is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks on Inside Out on WPFW 89.3 FM. And that was Big Frida, Take My Hand, the first single from her upcoming gospel album. Today's show is called Not My Jesus. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 202-588-0893. That is 202-588-0893.
Absolutely. And yo, I was just saying, during the song was playing, I was just telling Jay, I was like, yo, this kind of reminds me of the musical scene in Sinners, the new Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan movie. Oh my gosh, that joint. Ooh, it was amazing. That movie was so good, like Black mysticism and music and culture and vampirism and all of these things. Like, man, look, I'd go see it again. I would definitely pull back up on it.
Definitely. It was just so much to unpack. Like, I definitely feel like I need to go back and see it a second time. Because like it started off one way, you know, I was just into the cinematography and the beautiful costumes and, you know, everybody just looking so lovely. And yeah, and then it took a whole other turn, which, you know, had my mouth open and actually I jumped.
Look, I'm already animated, so I was in my seat, feet up, like, oh no, yeah, no, don't do it.
And that was the other part. I feel like being in a theater with an audience like made it even better. Like I was really enjoying the fact that so many people were also as into the movie as I was.
Yeah, no, it was great. And it had a brown skin or dark skin, curvaceous, voluptuous female love interest. Like, shout out to that, because it's like, you know, it wasn't likening to the proximity to whiteness, or, you know what I'm saying, like the thin this and that. So I just see what Ryan did. I see what you did there, guy, and I appreciate it. So
it was very refreshing to watch. Like, it was very good. And like the reviews, like so many people across all media outlets have just been talking about it. However they've been talking about it has been on everybody's tongue or mouth or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Shout out to Sinners. Speaking of Sinners, like, so yeah, so there's a lot of misinformation going on about how Jesus would have us act, right? So we are in the era of Christian nationalism, right-wing evangelical rhetoric, this and that, right? So apparently, according to some folks, the act of empathy is a sin. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So apparently, some folks are writing books and feeling like that's a sin, okay? Which is totally outrageous to me, because not my Jesus, but not my Jesus. My Jesus taught empathy, humility, compassion, amongst a lot of other things. So right now, we're going to listen to a clip. It's about 5 minutes, but it's two books. One of them is called The Sin of Empathy by Jay Rigney. And the other one is called Toxic Empathy by A.B. Stuckey. And I found an interview on holypost.com. And check it out. Like, they're talking about what the sin of empathy is. And I wish y'all could see my air quotes, but I'll just speak them, let y'all know that I'm air quoting. So let's check out this clip right here.
There are two books right now promoting the idea that either empathy is a sin or there's a kind of empathy that is a sin. Joe Rigney's book is called The Sin of Empathy. So I'm just going to give you the marketing description, you know, which is a good way to say, in a nutshell, elevator pitch. What's the argument? Elevator pitch. The so-called virtue of empathy, that's interesting, that he starts out in the marketing material by questioning whether empathy is a virtue or a vice. The so-called virtue of empathy is the greatest rhetorical tool of manipulation in the 21st century. So feeling for others is the number one way that we can manipulate people in the 21st century. Because love is a real virtue, mm-hmm. Empathy's power is in posing as selfless care for victims. Okay, empathy is posing in kind of looking like love, but it's not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you reject the sin of empathy, you reject the manipulation of the media, the manipulation of family and friends, and most importantly, the manipulation of your own heart. You have to steel yourself against feeling too much for others. And this is where it gets kind of interesting. This is a big quote. We must get out from under the progressive gaze. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it's
is
like,
that G-A-Z-E?
G-A-Z-E.
Just making sure, because that could go the progressive gaze.
Yeah.
We must get out from under the progressive gaze. Don't pare down the sharp edges of the truth in order to cater to progressive sensibilities. Instead, assume the center, which I assume means the center of the truth, not the political center, which they wouldn't be big fans of. Assume the center. Speak boldly, clearly, courageously, with no muttering or mincing of words. Refuse to be embarrassed by anything the Bible says.
Except what it says about empathy.
There aren't any lines directly about empathy.
It depends on how you define it.
I totally disagree with that.
Okay. So that's the sin of empathy from Joe Rigney.
It sounds like he's building a book or an apologetic for why it's important to judge other people.
Or maybe, to put it more kindly, an argument for why tough love is the true love. The other book is called Toxic Empathy by Allie Beth Stuckey. It came out after Joe Rigney had started talking about the sin of empathy, but before his own book came out. So she beat him to the punch, but I think was influenced by him.
So, Caitlin,
hang on. Her marketing materials say toxic empathy, how progressives exploit Christian compassion. So we have compassion, which is a good thing. And they try to get in and make it empathy and toxic so that we do things we wouldn't otherwise do. Allie Beth Stuckey explores the five most heated issues through which toxic empathy is deployed. Sky.
I can't.
Would you venture to guess what might be any of the five? Let's play the feud. Come on down. Play the feud. It's Family Feud for, I don't know if you watch television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, the audience is surveyed. Five top answers. What are the most heated issues through which toxic empathy is deployed?
Immigration.
Ding.
Abortion.
Ding.
Sexuality.
Ding.
What would be the last two? Taxes? I get three.
Well, there's kind of two sexuality ones.
Yeah, there are two.
There's two sexuality. So the transgender.
Gender.
Okay.
Ding!
So, and then there's one more.
Yes, one more.
One more.
Think.
You wrote a book about it?
Justice. Think. Social justice.
Ding! Yeah. You got all five.
Okay.
Those are the issues that we're concerned about. And on those issues, the left is trying to appeal to Christian compassion to get us to change our positions, even if we're not changing our positions. We've always been pro-immigrant still.
Okay. So if I'm hearing what they're marketing these books based on and what your analysis of the books is, Caitlin, is this a case of just poorly identifying the problem?
Yes.
Because I would agree there you can be emotionally manipulated into positions in the name of compassion or empathy or love or whatever that actually hurt people. It's like when helping hurts, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You're motivated to want to help somebody, but you actually enable self-destructive behavior, whatever. Yeah. So no doubt about it. But by labeling it as empathy being the problem, are they misidentifying the real problem here, which then creates a secondary problem, which is now anyone who shows empathy.
We're afraid to empathize with anyone. It's social justice. It's woke. It's like, it's DEI.
If you care, you're not a Christian.
If you care, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
And you've been taken by the left.
So what should it be called, Caitlin?
What should it be called, Caitlin?
What is the problem they're identifying and how would you identify it? What would you call it?
I would call it not loving people biblically.
I think that I would say they both have identified a wrong shortcut. Like it's a tactic to get people to not actually think thoroughly about a policy issue and just say, if you're this kind of person, you should vote this way. You should support these policies. The other underlying dynamic in these that's pretty explicit, at least in Allie Beth Stuckey's book, is there, the contrast is not just between empathy.
So yeah, it's a lot to unpack there. It's definitely a lot to unpack there. And again, the definition of empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of others. Also, this is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks. If you want to chime in, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Yeah, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another, right? So it's a whole bunch of rhetoric going on that is demonizing that and trying to play itself under the guise of Christian behavior, which it totally, it just reminds me of like false prophets and like people who aren't really connected with Jesus or love or the good and the kindness in the whole human experience. You know what I'm saying? And
I also feel like at the end of it, I feel like she was kind of getting to the heart of it. It just feels lazy. It just feels like, instead of me trying to, you know, work through these issues on my own, let me just put a blanket band-aid. Toxic empathy, you know what I'm saying?
Right, put it over. I
have to feel.
Absolutely. It definitely is lazy because it's like, it takes concern and compassion to really try to understand where somebody else is coming from if they're different than you. You know, you really have to be, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I agree, but
yeah,
also have had to meet yourself, right? So you've had to grapple through these issues as well. And sometimes what other people are saying doesn't necessarily mesh with the blanket that people like to put on stuff.
Absolutely. So this blanket don't fit on this bed. It's too small. My feet hanging out the bottom. I don't understand. I don't want this blanket. It does not fit. It doesn't fit. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like they were trying to get to it towards the end. It just feels like, both books should be thrown out the notebook.
Right. Ban those books. How about we ban and burn those books? Because what? Whose business is that?
I feel like it also speaks to like people trying to stop people from getting information, because we are in the age of misinformation, right?
Absolutely.
And it's our due diligence to go slough through the information and find out what's true and what isn't.
Absolutely. And that's the dangerous thing about it. Like, it was like the information age, but now it's like the misinformation age, because the things that's right at the top, right? Low-hanging fruit, that's what is so easy to grab and like, oh yeah, this is right. No, you gotta dig deeper. You gotta find credible research, all of these things, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Straight up. And it's like, well, what Jesus are y'all serving? Because I don't understand how someone could think Jesus is like, don't feel for other people, or don't look out for the immigrant. Actually, Joseph and Mary traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So Jesus himself was a whole immigrant. Like, if you just really read and like take in the essence of Jesus.
Yeah, it was kind of a playbook on being closed-minded. Can I keep these other views that kind of are starting to make sense to me away from me? Keep this away from me.
Like the plague. It's kind of like, I forgot what the statement was, but it's like, you know, you're messing up when you're making God to believe what you believe and not believing what God is saying. You know what I mean? Like, you're fixing God to fit into what you think is right or good, not looking to God to find out what is right or good and proper.
Which is so interesting, because I was listening yesterday to this woman who was talking about her walk in faith, and that she got so deep into it. God was telling her, commended her for ironing her husband's shirts before he went to go see his side chick. Not sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Look, if you are in a non-monogamous relationship, sure. If you are in a poly relationship, great. But side chick does not sound like you are in any of those things.
She sounded very, it was a monogamous. Mm-hmm. She was waiting it out because that's what she heard. So.
God bless. Because what? Very wild. Very, very wild, you know. So... yeah, man.
So this is the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks, a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM. We'll be right back after this quick station break.
WPFW has been a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture for 48 years. Our spring membership drive begins with a special celebration of James Brown's birthday, May 3rd, and closes with a centennial birthday celebration of Malcolm X on May 19th. Two pillars of music and message. Your financial sustenance is needed more than ever to continue this type of programming. As a new listener or current member, this is your opportunity to contribute to the growth of an institution that stands resolute against both gross injustice and repression and the mass erasure of history and culture by amplifying the voices of scholars, artists, and activists whose work centers the humanity of all people. That's 48 years of being a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture, May 3rd through the 19th. WPFW works daily to build the world we want to inhabit by building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Absolutely. Shout out to that. Welcome back to the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks, a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW 89.3 FM. Do you want to join the conversation? Do you? Give us a call at 202-588-0893. Once again, give us a call at 202-588-0893.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. You know, if you just want to call and say, not my Jesus, you can do that because it's a thing. And I just think of how hypocritical this type of rhetoric is, and how, you know, the Christian nationalists and all of them, they're like, you know, everybody's so divisive. You're saying all this to divide us, but this rhetoric right here is actually divisive, and it leads to bigotry, it leads to unacceptance, it leads to violence against people that are different than us, the immigrant, the trans person, the lesbian person, get, you know, the different person, you know, who is just a whole human being, you know what I'm saying, and deserving of love and respect and kindness and understanding. So, you know, rhetoric like this, it just drives a wedge between someone possibly trying to understand somebody else's experience, understand and respect their experience, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we all humans, right? You want somebody to respect you and how you feel, or what you want to be called, or what you identify with. So why is it so hard for you, or why do you want to down a hill of Christianity, rigid, false Christianity, and be like, I don't accept you. That's of the devil. You're not God's child, which is just the opposite of what Jesus will be wanting us to do. You know what I'm saying? So I was looking up, because we do have, like, it is a lot. I mean, I guess within the past maybe 4 years, and during this, the beginning of this administration, it was a lot of laws coming into place against the trans community, LGB as well, but a lot of laws coming against the trans community. So I hit up this website, it's called translegislation.com. So 2021, 143 bills, anti-trans bills, were considered. 18 passed. 2022, 174 bills considered. 26 passed. 2023, 604 bills, 87 passed. 2024, 674 bills, 50 passed. And this year alone, we've had 857 bills so far, and 77 has passed. So it's a lot going on to rally up this hate for people who are different than us, and especially like under the guise of Christian nationalism or Christian evangelical rhetoric, you know what I mean? So I just shout out to all of our trans siblings out there who are still living their life to the fullest, despite all of this, because you are loved, you are supported, you are cared for, despite all of this bogusness that's going on in the world. And how brave of you to still be you and still live and still thrive and still find the hope and the courage to be yourself in a climate such as now. So I just want to shout y'all out, because what? What? Not my Jesus.
I know. It's really heartbreaking to like actually watch. Like, yeah, who would have thought we would be here?
Yeah.
After all of, you know, the amazing moments that we've gone through the years, and here we are. This is, yeah.
Absolutely. That's why community is very important. That's why, you know, affirming community, affirming radio stations, that's why affirming churches are so important, because people are under attack out here just for being themselves. And you need community, you know what I mean? You need love, you need all of this wrapped around you so that you can continue to thrive. You need artistic expression. You need, you know what I'm saying?
Strong belief in the presence of community, making community, finding community. I have found it in so many different ways throughout life, you know, even in times where, you know, I was struggling and, you know, having moments or whatever. I remember it was doing volunteer work. I made community once, you know, just volunteering, and, you know, the place that I was volunteering, the people I was volunteering with became good friends, you know, people I still keep in contact with today. So, you know, community can show up in all different types of ways. It's really important to make sure that you connect in with other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And know you're not alone. You know what I mean? It might feel like you are. And that's the goal, for them to feel like, make you feel like you're isolated, but you're not. There's people out here that love you and that want to commune with you. All of those good things. So, man, shout out, and keep on pushing and keep on being y'all beautiful, beautiful selves, my wonderful trans siblings. Okay. Yeah, yo. So, we got another Sermonic Selection, Jay.
All right. Who we got? It is Isaac Manfield. Has been on the music scene for a few years now and has been bringing God's word to the people through rap music. Not growing up around the Christian lifestyle, he found Jesus at the age of 16, and now he aims to help others by explaining the problems he went through trying to figure out life through his music. All right, y'all, take a listen. New Things by Isaac Manfield. I miss you.
My God doing a new thing, I can't stress about old. My Lord taking me out of my comfort, I'm just trying to be bold. Lord, warm me up when my heart starts to get cold, no foe. Lord, help me not fall when the battle gets strong as the foe. They don't even get a goal. I'm just trying to win souls. Devil in my ear telling me I can't. World in my ear telling me to go. This a tell in the show. Gotta say, gotta live it. World said that I couldn't. God said I could, then I went and did it. You should die when I was out.
but now it's different cause I'm in it. Used to live burnt out, but now it's different cause he lit it. Yeah. Used to have stains on my heart, but my God, you know that he rid it. And now I'm standing on a firm foundation, on a rock that I'm sitting. Yeah, now I'm just chill with it. My God, he take me high up on that hill with it. Praying for, I said praying for my problems, let him deal with it. Can't stress about no sickness, cause I trust my God, he healing it. I trust that my God in the room and I ain't feeling it. Gave up my life and now it's Christ who's living it. Who's worthy to open the scroll? Yeah, come on, selling it. My God doing a new thing, I can't stress about old. My Lord taking me out of my comfort, I'm just trying to be bold. Lord warm me up when my heart starts to get cold, no pole. Lord help me not fall when the battle gets strong as the foe. They don't even get the goal. I'm just trying to win souls, devil in my ear telling me I can't. World in my ear telling me to go. This a tell and a show. Gotta say it, gotta live it. World said that I couldn't, God said I could, then I went and did it. You should die when I was out, but now it's different cause I'm in it. Used to live burnt out, but now it's different cause he lit it. Yeah. Used to have stains on my heart, but my God, you know that he rid it. And now I'm standing on a firm foundation, on a rock that I'm sitting.
New thing, Joe. I heard this song on an IG post and had to save it. Plus, growing up in the early.
Please don't call them.
We got a caller. So, do we have a caller? Oh, come on and call us back. We lost you. 202-588-0893. But yeah, no. Growing up in the early 90s, Aaron Hall, that I Miss You video. That joint was so sad. Do you remember that video, Jay?
But for some reason, I feel like I liked it. Like, I like the... I think I was really into like cinematography, like how the video flowed.
Yeah.
You know, was it telling a story? Like, I was really into that.
Absolutely.
It told a story, even though it was a sad story. I was like, oh.
Right. You know, videos back then more than likely had a story or a plot. You know what I'm saying? It was stuff going on more than just booty shaking and, you know, posted up. You know, all of these things.
Remember, like, the Ashanti and what's his name? The one from Hustle and Flow. What's that? Terrence Howard, the they did the spin on the Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it had a little story, catchy, yeah.
Right, like, right. Like, and shout out to, you know who used to have a bomb videos? Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott.
Facts.
Straight up.
They came with something different.
Absolutely. I heard Missy tore it down at Coachella recently.
Mm.
Yeah, you know you timeless. You know you timeless when Gen Z is messing with you. Like, that was Missy music was Socket to me was like 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but I feel like people didn't realize how much of a trailblazer she was then. Like, it was so out of this world. Like, when the video came out, I mean, even myself, I was like, what? Where are we going here with this at first? Because it was just so, you know, futuristic. Then you had, like, Outkast with the ATL. Like,
yes.
So many of the folks who were thinking Afrofuturistic before folks had even put a label. You know, like, we had Parliament and Funkadelic and stuff like that. But that was still taking place in the 90s, and I feel like folks weren't pointing it out like we're pointed out today.
Absolutely. So shout out to Isaac Mansfield, New Things. Welcome back to the Fellowship Hall, a sanctuary for queer folks. We are a part of the Inside Out Collective on WPFW. We talking about Not My Jesus and the increased information concerning Jesus and empathy and how it leans towards hatred and bigotry. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to participate, want to comment, have a question, 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're about to listen to a clip that's naming a thing a thing. All right. You know, just take a listen to what he's talking about and then we'll come back.
Please don't call them the alt-right. You should call them what they are, white nationalists. I would not dignify them by giving them the cover of alt-right. The curious thing about these white nationalists is nobody knows the exact size, because you've also got these sort of troll accounts. They're mostly anonymous people who are linking together on Facebook and on Reddit and other forums to say, oh, we love Donald Trump and we want to see the white race, you know, rise back to prominence. There's a white genocide going on. The Republican Party is tolerant, but after this election cycle, we welcome the departure of the of white nationalists from the Republican Party. What they're espousing, which includes hate and bigotry, is not a Republican value, it's not an American value, and I think they should self-deport themselves from the party.
Well, how about that? Because it's like normally white nationalists mingle with Christian nationalists, or it's like, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm also a white nationalist, and I'm also a purveyor of hate and bigotry. How about that? You know what I'm saying? They all kind of like blend into one. They can, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, they just name a thing a thing. Never mind the alt-right, just go ahead and call them the white nationalists. Something happened in Tennessee on the Tennessee floor. Somebody, I just read about it on like an IG post before we got on the show. But some lawmaker in Tennessee fussed out the black, it's a black young representative. He got straight hair, little ponytail, right? And He said, every time you say something negative about white nationalists, you are disrespecting patriots and you're being racist and people who have fought for this country and this and that. I'm like, sir, check out the spin on that, okay? Because what? But yeah, like they really try to give them a pass and kind of like play, do that wordplay, sort of like with the whole empathy is a sin, this and that. Like, no, white nationalism is not good.
Exactly.
Point blank. Case in point, white nationalism is not good. Christian nationalism is not a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
It is. It has been marred in ways that I don't think that, you know, folks were ready for or, you know, understood or any of that or whatever. So yeah, for folks who try to spin it or try to, you know, make it come back, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of wordplay going on. It's definitely a lot of wordplay. And you really just have to get to the root of people and their actions, like, and the pillars that they stand on, you know what I'm saying? Like, because if whatever you're believing in leads to hatred and bigotry, then you really have to reevaluate what you believe in. Or, you know, you have to reevaluate what you were taught and come to the realization that either you like that or you don't like that, and you have a lot of things to unlearn and deprogram. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think for some people, I was watching a young man who struggled, had, you know, people really close to him who raised him, gave him some really views that just, you know, were very aligned with like bigotry and racism and like not caring for people. And it took, you know, friends outside of the family to kind of expose and help pull them into thinking for themselves. I feel like that ends up being a lot of it. Folks don't really think for themselves. They go into like groupthink.
Yeah.
I mean, even when this guy was saying in terms of like the trolling and the different forums that people get on and get into like this groupthink situation.
Absolutely, because it's definitely a place for skewed groupthink, for hatred and bigoted groupthink. Lots of places for that. But it's like, is that your heart? That's your heart though? Oh, all right, okay. you stay right on away from me, and that's not my Jesus, okay? you keep that over there, because my heart is love and kindness and empathy and strength and compassion, you know, and self accountability. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, and that's work.
It absolutely is work, but it's worth it. It's worth it because, you know, once this body fades away, you know, there is an after. And it's like, I'd rather do my best being my best while I've had a chance in this body. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I don't know what happens on in the after, but I'd rather do my best to be my best and to be kind and loving and bold and brave here than to be full of hate and evil and malice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, real recognize real. Energy recognize energy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. God bless. God bless.
Exactly.
Yeah. Again, go ahead.
No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And if you, again, if you want to call us up, we got a few more minutes, got 5 more minutes or so, but if you want to call us up and participate, 202-588-0893. We have one more Samana selection. It is just a clip from this pastor. His name is Christian A. Smith. He is a radical guy, and I really, really appreciate him and his views and how he sees things. He's the pastor of an online community called The Faith Community in Atlanta, Georgia, a disruptor, and identifies as a spiritual humanist. So check out this clip from Christian A. Smith.
I want Christians to get better at arguing the Bible. I want Christians to get better at treating people right. I want Christians to be equipped to leave people alone, actually. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another, not how well you quote scripture. If Christians were actually equipped to just go out and be kind to people, and be loving to people, and be helpful, and be generous and walk around with a sense of gratitude, that would do more evangelism than going out with tracts to tell people how to get saved. I don't understand how that could be a badge of honor for the world to not want to see you come in because you're insufferable. That is not what I believe it means to represent Christ. So.
Yeah, man. Look, actions speak louder than words. Shout out. That was Christian A. Smith, a pastor of the faith community in Atlanta, Georgia. You can look him up on IG. He has a lot of stuff. He has a Patreon as well. But yo, like straight up. So I say that to all the Christian nationalists, to all of y'all, like it's actions. Like actions speak louder than words. They will know you by your works. You know what I'm saying? They'll know you have a good heart. They'll know you on the right side by your heart and by your actions. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a whole bunch of rhetoric out here and a whole bunch of talking and not a whole bunch of doing good. You know what I mean?
Very true.
Unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately. So, you know, you want to be that person that folks that brings people to, like, if you are a Christian, right? If you believe in God, Jesus, or whatever, you don't want to just be out here talking. Live like Jesus lived. Live like Jesus told you to live, right? It's Beatitudes. It's all of these things out here. It's a whole guy. A whole guy, okay? You hear me?
Yeah.
Feed people that way. Instead of being so self-righteous and so rigid, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You got any last comments?
Last comments, last words, man. Man, look, I just want to shout out again. Shout out to our trans siblings. We see you. We love you. We appreciate you. We are proud of you. Shout out to, again, Jade Flower Foster. We love you. We miss you. We gonna keep on fighting the good fight in your honor as well. We're so grateful for your presence here on the Fellowship Hall. I can't wait to collaborate in the future. And yeah, I'm grateful to be here with you, Jay Barber. You know, it's the Fellowship Hall, Sanctuary for Queer Folks. We out here, you know?
We are out here. You got any upcoming things or any?
Celebrate with WPFW, you know what I'm saying? Friday, Go to the website, celebrate with us, celebrate with us.
A world pride is on the horizon. So
it is.
It's getting here quick.
I'm mad J-Lo headlining, but that's all right. It's okay. All right.
You have so many other great performers that are going to be in the area. I'm so excited.
You're right. It's going to be a good time. So, yeah. But yeah, man, that's the Fellowship Hall, the Sanctuary for Queer Folks. I'm Daffo.
I'm Jay Barber.
And we out. God is love.
Thank you.
This is Robin Holden.
And this is Miyuki Williams.
WPFW is celebrating its 48th year, April 25th, 6:30 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds.
Vocalist Navasha Dea will perform, and James Funk will be on the ones and twos.
Longtime programmer Vaughn Martin, artivist Ayanna Gregory, and civil rights activist Dr. Joyce Ladner and Latoisha Brown, all of them will be honored that night.
Zain El Amin and Esther Iverum will share poetry.
It'll be an evening of community, music, poetry, and dancing with the WPFW family.
Tony Carr, Bill Wax, Kamal Harris, Craig Williams, Roach and Martine Brown, Tim Masters,
Violetta Diamond, Joni Eisenberg, Kim Bay, Verna Avery Brown, Ida Campbell, just to name a few of the programmers who will be hosting tables.
Details at wpfwfm.org.
WPFW has been a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture for 48 years. Our spring membership drive begins with a special celebration of James Brown's birthday, May 3rd, and closes with a centennial birthday celebration of Malcolm X on May 19th. Two pillars of music and message. Your financial sustenance is needed more than ever to continue this type of programming. As a new listener or current member, this is your opportunity to contribute to the growth of an institution that stands resolute against both gross injustice and repression and the mass erasure of history and culture by amplifying the voices of scholars, artists, and activists whose work centers the humanity of all people. That's 48 years of being a site of resistance in defense of truth, justice, and culture, May 3rd through the 19th. WPFW works daily to build the world we want to inhabit by building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
In commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the end of the U.S. war in Vietnam, Busboys and Poets, along with the Institute for Policy Studies, will host Vietnamese poet and novelist Nguyen Phan Ke Mai in conversation with Vietnam veteran Wayne Carlin in a program moderated by E. Ethelbert Miller on Thursday, April 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. At the event, 50 years after the end of the Vietnam War, A Pathway Toward Healing and Reconciliation, Ke Mai will read from her new book of poems, The Color of Peace, and Wayne will read from his latest book, Memorial Days, Vietnam Stories, 1973 to 2022. That's 50 years after the end of the Vietnam War, A Pathway Toward Healing and Reconciliation, Thursday, April 24th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Tacoma Busboys and Poets. More information and how to RSVP can be found online, ips-dc.org/events. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice, building a better world one broadcast at a time.
I'm Dennis Williams with the WPFW editorial. Kilmar Abrego-Garcia,